Welcome, this is William Evans, and we are Shifting Gears. Our guest today is Paul Hempel, a source water protection specialist from the Colorado Rural Water Association. Welcome, Paul. We're grateful to speak with you again today and have you here in Carbondale this time.
Great to be here, Will. I know we did our last interview over the phone when I was at my house in Boulder, so it's great after all these conversations on the phone to come up and meet you in person and sit down here at KDNK to do this interview.
It's nice to see a living voice. There's a special reason for your being in the Valley, and we'll get to that, but first tell us, what does it mean to you to live in a state with source water running off the peaks and out of wild forests?
Well, Colorado in itself is unique in the sense that it's a headwater state to seven different rivers, and all of them start in the pristine high country and end up flowing out of the state. But between those instances, the water's used, as everybody knows, for agriculture, municipal use, recreation, and drinking water as well. And along with the many groundwater wells in the state, that drinking water serves the entire population of Colorado.
Right. We are attentive and appreciative of the wild here because we had a lot of empty beehives in the valley this spring.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And yet the good news is our fruit trees and gardens are making it. We're still in the game.
That's great.
Because we have the wild close enough, enough wild pollinators are coming out of the chaos to visit our farms, homes, and ranches.
Out of the wild and chaos comes goodness.
I love that. So here, there's a degree of coherence relative to this external chaos, which it's composed of innumerable intelligences all trying to order the water and the resources to suit themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And your voice of coherence for source water is precious. We extend our highest respects for who you are and the steadiness with which you stand tall.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, all of our pristine waters begin in the high country, and to maintain their integrity and their value for whatever use, maintenance of our watersheds is paramount.
You started working here in the Valley 8 years ago, originally for the Colorado Department of Health and now for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Yes and no with that. Our funding to rural water for source water protection comes from both the State Health Department, CDPHE, and the USDA. We don't necessarily work directly for either of those two organizations, although that's where our funding comes from. And initially, in the 10 years I've been doing this work, for the first eight, I was under the State Health Department contract, and now I'm under the USDA contract. And that has certain requirements for source water protection. But it's, you know, more appropriate, I would say, to say that I work directly for Colorado Rural Water Association.
We're comfortable with that. Tell us some of your history working here in the Valley.
Well, it's been a great history. When I first started this work 10 years ago, I had done some work on the Front Range primarily, but within a couple of years, I had made some inquiries with public water systems, large and small, in this valley to see if they would want to work with us, Colorado Rural Water, in developing source water protection plans. These plans are non-mandatory, they're non-regulatory in Colorado. Other states have made it mandatory for water providers, large and small, to do source water protection planning. But Colorado's take is that it's voluntary. And so when I started making inroads into this valley, 8 years ago, it was primarily with a gentleman named Scott Leslie of Environmental Process Control. And he had managed several systems in the valley. Their family still does. And we started working with all of those small systems, a few in the Aspen area, a couple in the Snowmass area, Missouri Heights, West Bank area, and also in the 4 Mile Creek drainage. So it was about 8 years ago that I started working on all these projects. And over time, we developed plans and utilized grant funding from the State Health Department so these water providers could implement some best management practices to protect their source waters.
And this was for homeowners associations with subdivisions primarily?
Yeah, W/J Metro District, Gateway Metro District, Woody Creek HOA, Sopris Village HOA, Red Table Acres, Aspen Mesa, West Bank Ranch and West Bank Mesa, even Colorado Mountain College, Oak Meadows Service Company, Oak Meadows Water Association, and then a few on the I-70 side like Mitchell Cooper Ditch and Pipeline Company and Canyon Creek Estates.
On this program, we go into the real details, and we want your diplomatic truth-speaking skills to tell us what are the consequences of something going wrong in a subdivision, and what are the consequences to me if I'm not drinking source water?
Most of the subdivisions, in fact, all of them I worked with, gain their drinking water from groundwater wells, which lie at various depths. Many of them are tied into the Roaring Fork River alluvium, so underground water, taking the drinking water that is connected to the Roaring Fork River. So most of the wells are, you know, more shallow than not, let's say, you know, less than 100 feet deep or around there. So a lot of the land uses that happen above their what we call a recharge area, where precipitation flows and then seeps into the ground and then moves towards their well. Many of the issues that could occur happen on the surface just above that, or slightly below. And in the case of most of these homeowner associations, we looked at on-site wastewater treatment systems, formerly known as septic systems. That's the new OWTS, on-site wastewater treatment systems, is now the appropriate lingo, I guess, when you're talking to them. So, you know, the management of those individual on-site wastewater treatment systems can directly affect the community drinking water supply that lies, you know, nearby.
Yeah, we sometimes elect to be blunt here, and what you just said means that there's some kind of an adverse connection between the toilet and the faucet in the kitchen.
Yeah, there could be. I think, you know, for the most part, especially in this valley, people are aware of their water resources. In order, the majority level to protect them. But, you know, the connection to these water resources and drinking water isn't always necessarily understood.
And a lot of people don't have a strong connection upstream from the faucet.
I would say that's appropriate. And it's just the way it is. We're busy in our daily lives. Water is so easy to come by when it's just comes out the faucet or is flushed down the toilet that I would say the majority of people don't necessarily think about those connections.
Right. And how successful has it been?
Well, I think the work that I've done in this valley, not only with the HOAs and the smaller water providers that I mentioned, but with most of the larger municipalities like Aspen, Carbondale, Basalt, and Glenwood, we've had some great success in our work. The fact that these water providers weren't regulated to do a plan shows that they had enough interest to want to get involved and see what this program was about. And in most cases, these water providers implemented some sort of action, mostly in the form of education to their consumers of what source water protection is and the importance of maintaining great quality water for drinking water.
So part of what I was asking is, have there been problems come out of any of the subdivisions you've done a plan for?
Not that I know of. A lot of this work I did was now 8 years old. We haven't really revisited those projects, and whether or not there was water contamination, I wouldn't know, but I certainly haven't heard of anything where failing septic systems may have compromised the drinking water supply. I haven't heard anything, so I wouldn't really know if any really big problems existed.
Well, I suspect if there was a really big one, you might know, but I would take it as the merit and the outflow of education and attention to detail and design of where a septic system is located in relation to a well.
That's right. And when we do these plans, Will, we try to provide the GIS mapping perimeters of the protection areas to county land use departments and other decision makers. So they have them available when making land use decisions within a particular subdivision or neighborhood.
And you continue to be very active in doing these plans.
Oh yeah, throughout the state. Right now, the town of Eagle on a plan, and have been working with both the cities of Arvada and Westminster on the Front Range on plans as well. And over the 10 years, I've worked with nearly 50 water systems, public water systems statewide, to develop a source water protection plan.
Great. You're listening to Shifting Gears and a conversation with Paul Hempel about the importance of rural source water. Tell us, why are you here in the Valley today?
Pretty much to help promote our latest initiative, which is the West Slope Keep It Clean Partnership. And when I first started convening with these water providers 8 years ago, including Scott Leslie and other point people for the major municipalities, we were talking about education and outreach on source water protection, and realized that although every water provider wants to get the message out there, they don't necessarily have the means or resources to do so. And in realizing that the watershed groups, like in this valley, the Roaring Fork Conservancy, does education and outreach all the time.
Right.
And successfully, that we might be able to form a nexus between what the drinking water providers want to educate their constituents about and what is already happening. So we had this vision 8 years ago, have completed, let's say, a dozen or so source water protection plans in the valley. And since we've done that, we've been working on this outreach campaign, which is being launched this week.
Good timing.
Yeah, good timing. Time just sort of rolls around, so it is what it is. But certainly, you know, the 4th of July weekend and the beginning of summer, you know, we thought really proves to be a good time to launch this campaign.
For those of us who have been by the river today, we know we're at probably at peak runoff, and it's high.
It's high and dirty and fantastic looking.
Oh, man, the amount of power and velocity going around the corner where I looked was just awesome.
Yeah, I love this time of year. Spring runoff is just amazing display of nature coming out of the high country.
Certainly is. So the Farm Bill, authorized or reauthorized by Congress in December 2018, provides for encouragement of source water protection practices. Obviously, you said you've been working on this Keep It Clean program for 8 years at least. Is it in part benefiting from this new Farm Bill?
I wouldn't say necessarily so, except that the new Farm Bill provided me with my job continuing, that's for sure.
That's cause for some celebration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we were, a little curious about how it might pan out, but every state has a rural water association. We all pretty much do the same thing in terms of Colorado rural water or Wyoming rural water, Vermont rural water. And myself and some of my fellow coworkers are funded under the Farm Bill. So the Farm Bill also funds our Circuit Rider program, where we have water and wastewater professionals traveling around the state, making 30 face-to-face contacts a month with different water or wastewater utilities. And, you know, that's pretty powerful when we're able to send out our circuit riders to, and we have five of them total. So that's 150 face-to-face contacts a month. And then, of course, source water protection is funded under that as well. So, yes, although Keep It Clean idea has been developing over the past 8 years, a lot of it has been sort of that back burner stuff where, you know, you pick up pieces of it here and there and get everybody on board for this campaign. Basically, when we realized that we had finalized all these plans, that it was time to get this sort of educational component out on a region-wide basis. And so in through my contacts over the years with watershed groups like the Conservancy, but also the Middle Colorado Watershed Council and the Eagle River Watershed Council, we've gotten them on board as partners. And through those contacts over the years, I've met several other key point people for municipalities and towns throughout the region, a region we're talking basically from Vail to Rifle to Aspen. And we've utilized two source water protection grants from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, $5,000 each for the town of Basalt and the town of Gypsum. But we also, for this campaign, went out and solicited sponsorship funds from other municipalities that already have a plan but have used up their previous grant money. So City of Aspen, City of Glenwood, Town of Carbondale, Town of Eagle, the White River National Forest, Garfield, Eagle, and Pitkin counties all provided a $1,000 donation this past year towards the campaign, and they will for the next 2 years as well, as long as their respective boards see that there is good progress made with this effort. And so we had a budget coming into this spring of $18,500 for the campaign.
And specifically, you've got signs going up at river crossings throughout that area.
Yeah, this is the most exciting part, I think, of the campaign, which, by the way, I should mention was built off of the work done in by the city of Boulder in Boulder County as far as their wastewater MS4 permitting. Any municipality that has over 10,000 in population has to come up with a educational program along with their needed requirements under the Safe Drinking Water and the Clean Water Act. And so we were in Boulder, had already done this Keep It Clean idea. And they, through their blessing, gave us the opportunity to take this messaging out on the western slope, which we're currently doing now.
What's fun was that I tried to do what research I could. And the children at Casey Junior High in Boulder have a mural done in, I believe, 2008 that says, Keep It Clean, we're downstream.
Yeah. Well, you know, this messaging, we figured, hey, why reinvent the wheel? You know, Boulder County and Boulder had put out this great messaging that really can reach, you know, adults and kids as well, students of all ages.
And we're all able to hear the truth, whether it comes out of a child's mouth or unless we've got some reason not to, a child's mouth or an elder.
Right. And Keep It Clean campaign, you had mentioned these stream crossing signs that you're going to start seeing throughout the valley. We were able to purchase 35 of these signs manufactured locally by microplastics out of Glenwood. And each of these signs has a custom-made nameplate that's adhered to them that signifies which stream you're crossing. And the basic message is keep it clean because we're all downstream. And we're hoping that as people see these signs and then start seeing our advertisements in the newspaper about it, that they'll make that connection of why those signs are there. And ultimately, our main goal is to make that connection between our water supplies and drinking water.
Yeah, it's all one circle. And, you know, what is by accident or carelessly or contemptuously thrown into a river becomes part of the circle.
That's right.
It's reached tragic proportions in the ocean. I read 9 million tons per year of plastic going into the ocean. And the carbon dumped into the atmosphere comes down as acid rain, so the pH of the ocean is changing. And we need to trust the voice of truth, and if it comes from children, we better be listening, because the whole system is actually precarious, and the education is not trivial. It's a big deal to listen to and take in and figure out what's happening in your life and where to turn around.
Absolutely. And, you know, the education of our grammar school and high school students, we think is extremely important. The results are intangible in the sense that when you deliver educational messages, you hope they stick, and that over time, over the years, you might even end up cultivating some real leaders in the field. But without that messaging, you know, nothing would happen necessarily, or very little compared to what we're trying to get out there. And part of this campaign is directed towards the younger set, if you will. And we've manufactured Keep It Clean stickers and coloring books, which all the water providers, the watershed groups, and our other sponsors now have available for distribution throughout the year.
Yeah, I've watched this in a variety of ways play out over the decades of my career, and I realize, and the listeners will have heard this multiple times, disconnection is the health tragedy of our time. So healing the disconnection is one of the benefits of the Keep It Clean program. Not allowing disconnection to occur in children is even better.
Yeah. I personally, you know, have a great passion for educating our youth in any form we can to make them environmentally aware and hopefully produce some leaders in the future. In addition to our work with the kids and these stream crossing signs, one of our signature pieces of the campaign is basically a pamphlet. Again, it says, keep it clean because we're all downstream. And when you open it up to the inside, there's a message of source water protection on the left-hand column. And that's where we've changed the brochure from Boulder's original work to incorporate the source water protection into this messaging. And that was a requirement of the grants we also got from the State Health Department to incorporate this message. So it was very intuitive on their part to realize that we could include our source water message with some of the stuff that's already out there. And then on the other part of the inside of this brochure are impacts to water resources around the home, auto care, lawn and garden, and then with bulleted examples of how you can help prevent the accidental contamination of your drinking water supplies. On the back of the brochure lists all of our partners and sponsors, and we've also taken this brochure and have translated into Spanish for our Spanish-speaking
great
and Latino friends and neighbors throughout the region.
Wonderful. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to a conversation with Paul Hempel, source water specialist for the Colorado Rural Water Association. And the promotion this week of the launch of the Keep It Clean program in the Colorado and Roaring Fork and Crystal River drainages. This is William Evans. Thank you for listening to KDNK.
Silver light.